The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late.
Okay, well, we're back here. This is Rob Kermit, Winterwood II, sitting in for John Stapmiller. And we're discussing the Real ID Act with Al Whitney. She's done a lot of work on this, and I've done a lot of work. This was one of the very first ones that I used initially when I got a hold of the Federal Register attorney, Amy Bunk, that put me on the road to understanding the Administrative Procedures Act. And in this situation, let me go see here. This is on, first of all, I got to make this on a page so I can find it here. Just a minute. Otherwise, I can't. I will tell you, this document that I'm looking at, this has 1,406 pages. Okay, and this is on page 137, 138. But let's see what this thing is called. This thing is called the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, and it's Federal Register. It's FO or 70 FR 23953.
Is there a date?
Okay, I don't know if you've ever seen it or not. It's 1,406 pages long.
But they don't have a date on it.
Oh, yeah. The date on this one is August 5th, 2008.
Okay.
Yeah. But what you're going to find,
What they've done is they've changed it, Ralph. They passed the Real ID Act in 2008. And now they are telling the public, and they've got signs in airports across the country that they put out starting January 22nd, ID requirements are changing. You will need an alternative ID to fly if you have a driver's license or ID issued by any of the following states, because they did not comply. So if you have a driver's license from Kentucky, Maine, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, or Washington, they will not allow you to board an airline unless you have an alternative ID like a passport or a military ID. This is like pushing right now, January 22nd, 2018, they want you to declare your citizenship status or your legal presence. Now, you sound like you have a good way to prove the second one, which is legal presence.
Yeah, what do they say for legal presence? Because we had somebody that's on the Internet ask about that. And then I'm going to get into some information how you can go about attacking this if you choose to go down this road. Okay.
Okay. Well, all they said, they don't like to define anything. You are absolutely 1,000% right, right? They don't define it. All they say is here's the only documents that we will accept to prove U.S. citizenship or legal presence. And those are the ones I gave you. The one you thought you could connect both with was the United States naturalization document.
Yeah, that is a citizen of the United States of America. That's why all these anchor babies have no standing, no status, because you are a citizen of the United States of America under naturalization. A citizen of the United States has no domicile.
That's cool. Well,
no,
that
it doesn't.
May be true, but they also...
It is true. You have no domicile. You can reside someplace, traveling in the United States. The Supreme Court of the United States long ago put resides or resident is total smoke and mirrors. That was back in the early 1800s. You have to have a domicile.
Well, what they're doing with the driver's license, I looked at all these requirements because I got that BMV driver's guide, and that's where they're instructing all the people who are sitting behind these desks, giving us our licenses, that they must follow those or they will lose their job. Now, we have to prove our street address, they call it. Uh-huh. And the street address can be proved with a recent bank account statement, which I thought was interesting, uh-huh. a tax form. In other words, it gets you all back, because the street address has a zip code. It gets you all back into their arena, but it does it without you saying, I am a U.S. citizen. So what they're doing is they're using documents to conclude or presume that you qualify as a U.S. citizen.
But you get into the documents or the act itself, you will find citizen of the United States. Going, I don't. Did you have Westlaw?
I don't have Westlaw. I'm working on
okay,
the Real
well,
ID.
Okay.
Act.
Well, I go into the legislative history, and what you will find is all of this Real ID Act stuff has to have regulations behind it.
And
it's mandatory. Pardon?
And I read the Real ID Act, and I read the regulations and statutes that Ohio had to pass to comply with the Real ID Act.
This is how you get to what's going on. This is the rest of the story here, because I've done a ton of work on this stuff. Got it. I'll try to make it simple. All of the statutory nonsense, they will require a federal CFR somewhere. Is there any federal CFRs, Code of Federal Regulations involved?
There probably are. I'd have to go back and look at the real...
Okay. What you have to do, you go to the CFR, then you look at the Federal Register.
Right. Well, that's what
and
I was reading.
And in the Federal Register, what you're searching for is 5 U.S.C. 553B.
Okay, but Ralph,
mm-hmm.
if I cannot cash a check,
no.
Or see a doctor.
I understand, but I'm telling you how to get to the root of the problem. You're
well,
out,
it might be, but what do we do about it?
Okay, well, that's
we
what I'm
it?
That's what I'm working on here. Just give me a minute.
Okay.
First of all, you have to go into the Federal Register, and I guarantee you, Chrysler v. Brown, if it has the force effect of law, it is required in what's called the headless fourth branch of government. This is this fictional world they got us in.
Right.
It will say they are not in compliance with 5 U.S.C. 553B. What that means is that regulation has no force and effect of law, and it's called a substantive or substantive reg. It qualifies only as an interpretive reg, which creates no right, no duty, and I don't have to follow it. It's nonsense.
Except that here's how they're implementing it. I went to the bank to cash a check.
I understand.
The employee of the bank doesn't care. He said he will lose
his job. I understand
all
that. No, you got to just a minute. Let me finish the rest of this here.
Okay.
You have to get your status into the public record that you are a citizen of Ohio, and you're not a citizen of the United States. You have to get that into the public record. When it's in the public record, it becomes self-authenticating under Evidence Rule 901, Number 7.
And how does that translate into an ID card?
Pardon?
Can you get that into an ID card?
Well, you have to get it into the public record first, because certified copies, it becomes self-authenticating. Then you can go challenge them, because you say, I am a citizen of Ohio. I am not a citizen of the United States. And I have all kinds of Supreme Court decisions that the citizen of the United States is only for Congress, which I just read, if you were listening to the show, is only to enforce. It's a prohibitive. It has nothing to do with the other. And how they've got this put through, which is what I was going to get to, is the Social Security Act, which is what they did with the Social Security Act. Let me pull up the actual legislative history of this. And this is really, this is a scam. I mean, I don't need to tell you.
I know
that.
It is.
But what they did is, they do it very slyly, because like if you put your Social Security number in, well, what did I just do? Well, guess what? Let me put it in here, and let me go here, and I'm going to bring it up. This is out of the legislative history. This is Senate Report 661. Okay, let me go down here to excise tax. There is an income tax on employees and an excise tax on employers based on wages paid. Now, this is a little difficult to follow, but I'll try to make it simpler here to this thing. What they do is Yeah, let me find the exact statement in this legislative history. Excise tax. Okay. What they did is, anything to do with income and the excise tax of 1909 has, and this is called federal income tax. This is a holding of the Supreme Court after the 16th Amendment. Anything to do with income is strictly on the profits or stuff of a corporation. That's it. Nothing else.
Okay, we have to get back to the real ID because that's what's going
to. I know, but
you
got to get to the foundation to be able to attack it.
I wonder if they just said screw that and did it anyway. That's the problem.
Well,
they do it anyway.
Well, you got to get to the foundation first. That's what I'm trying to get to here. So you go back to the Social Security Act, and what is the Social Security Act? It says this section. This is 804. Is an excise tax on every employee for the privilege of having individuals in his employ. Now, there's a mouthful. What does that mean? Imposes an excise tax. They also sometimes call it a franchise. It's a privilege tax. On every employer for the privilege of having individuals in his employ. What is that about? So I'm an employer, and it's a privilege of having individuals an employee. Let me give you a comparison. Say I had a corporation. It is a privilege to have shareholders invest in my corporation because I promised them dividends, right? Money. An employer pays an excise tax, which is actually unemployment insurance, to have an individual, he says, cometh on in and work for me, and I will promise you wages. But you have to get around and pay into a Social Security retirement annuity plan. But we're going to call it wages, but it's you have to pay it, and they call this an income tax, which it's not. It's an annuity plan. Now, people do not even know that. I don't know if you know it. You know Alaska doesn't pay Social Security for its employees? They put it into an annuity plan, and that money retains in your name, your heirs, even when you die, and they invest it along with other money, and you can, at the end, you can get $250,000, $500,000 out. Social Security and some of the other boroughs up here did not. They exempted out in 1980. Out of the Social Security money
what
going to
the... What these people did with the Real ID Act is they got put in place red flag rules for all these industries. They told the people that this is to protect against identity theft. Because in 9/11, these Arabs with box cutters had bad IDs, and they managed to carry off this horrific attack on the United States. So
right. That's
why they put in the Real ID to prevent identity theft. That's their whole justification. It says it all over that legislation, which is in the Federal Register. So this, they don't care about any rights. They think they have a right to identify us. They are now using biometric cameras, and there's microchips in my driver's license so that they can read it with a scanner. Okay, they don't need to read it with their eyes. You can put it in a machine, and that is also part of the Real ID Act. So regardless of what happened before, they have tightened the noose around our neck to make us get this Real ID. And
but you have to step out of it, establish who you are, and then you have to proceed forward to show that they do not have the authority to make me have a national citizenship, i.e. federal citizenship, and I have no inalienable rights, I have no constitution, and what they're doing is when you're in the Social Security Act, you are receiving a benefit, and the Supreme Court has ruled more than once, anytime you accept a benefit, you have no rights and no remedies, shut up and take what's given to you.
But here's what they've done with this Real ID and the red flag rules went in place. There are five industries that must require Real IDs to prevent identity theft. One of them is the automotive industry, the banking industry, the utilities, and the physicians, the medical industry, as well as, I think I said the banking. Oh, telecommunications. They put this all in since 2001 so that those companies who are engaging in business with the public are obligated to require these identifications, and if they don't, they will suffer fines or punishments.
Right.
So they've got
But it's based on federal regulations, I guarantee you.
I understand, but the doctor's
office... And so you have to defeat the federal regulations to show that they have no force and effect of law, therefore you can go after them. That's the same thing as we deal with the IRS. The Internal Revenue Code, Title 26, has nothing to do with you or me.
Who would you go after your doctor?
Pardon?
How would you go after the doctor's office and say, I don't need this real ID?
No, you're up on the limb. You have to start at the bottom end, at the source of this, and go after the authority of this thing, and then attack them. And so then it's what I'm going to do to an employer is they don't have any authority to withhold money. In the Title 26, withholding agent is only for non-resident aliens, foreign corporations, and foreign organizations. And if you aren't one of them, they can't withhold money. So I always wondered, how do they get around that? Well, it's very slick, because what they've done, they've tied in, you have a Social Security number. Then they went to the Buck Act of 1940, and they said income tax means gross income, net income, or gross receipts. They just said, okay, they call it income tax. And it's called in the federal area. And what they've done is they've taken the citizen of the United States, which is part of that act, and if you are in the outside boundaries, external boundaries of Ohio, you are deemed to be in the federal area, And then anything that happens inside of that isn't taxable. Well, see, the first problem they run into is gross income means any income from any source, which the Supreme Court says you can't do that because that's an excise tax.
Anything to do with taxes. This has to do with identity theft in the Department of Homeland Security.
It's all tied together. It's all citizens of the United States. That's the core
issue. Except that if you kick up a fuss when you're doing this, they are instructed to notify the police that there is a terrorist threat, because the whole thing was done under the Homeland Security and the threat of terrorists. It's all over this book that I've got from them.
You have to get to the only so that I can tell you, I'm not familiar with Ohio because I'm fighting it. I'm identifying the source problem is the Social Security Act, the Salary Act of 1939, and the Buck Act. Those are what's tied together, and they merged them all together in 1943 to call the individual income tax. And you know what an individual is? It's a citizen of the United States or an alien lawfully admitted. That's 5 U.S.C. 552A. They all use it. And the bottom line is you have to get your status proven in a public record before you can go do battle. Because then you have to say, okay, well, I have evidence. This is what I am. I've done it. It's been notarized, and it's in a public record. It's self-authenticating. Now, I want you to come forward, and where is the evidence that I'm a citizen of the United States? Because in 18 U.S.C. 911, he who claims to be and is not is a felony. Okay,
Here's the thing, they'll be happy to say, okay, we'll accept that you're not a citizen, but we don't have any obligation nor duty to give you a driver's license next.
That's why I wanted him to challenge to take me on. Oh, hold on a minute. We'll be back. Hold on.
Okay.
When I get there, I'm learning to fly around the clouds. What goes up must come down.
Thank you. know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Well, we're back here. This is Ralph Witteroat, and having a conversation here about the Real ID Act. And let me make a comment here. I've got the name here. Al Whitney. Yeah, Whitney. I had to go up looking. Here's the problem with the driver's license. What are you going to drive? You have to go one step farther, because the automobiles, the vehicle, whatever you want to call it, it's not yours. It belongs.
I know that.
Well, but do you know how they get it? Because it's signed away at a brand new car called an attorney in fact contract that says all right, title, and interest is given away, and another document called the MSO is taken over to the DMV, and they probably are monetizing it by some means because it's their stuff. But as long as it's their car, then that is the issue that we need to go back as attack. You don't have any authority, because, by the way, it is unconstitutional and it's illegal to steal property without notice.
The other thing they've done. The state now offers, if you're not a driver, they offer a state ID that's going to suffice for flying in airplanes, going to doctors, going to banks. So let's say I don't have a driver's license, but they will give me a state ID. That state ID is going to be required for the same things that the driver's license. This is the real ID. When I looked in the manual, they said, if you decide to get a state ID, okay, or a passport, that's a different category, but they'll accept that. If you decide to get a state ID, you have to sign an affidavit saying you are giving up your driving privileges and mm-hmm. then we will give you the state ID, understanding if you ever want to drive again, you have to go back and take all the exams and start over. They're not allowing anyone to have both the state ID, which is just a picture of you and verification that you are who you are, and a driver's license. You have to have one or the other.
Right, but again, see, what needs to be fought is the ownership of the vehicle, because when you get that, you don't need the driver's license to be a citizen of the United States anymore. That's the right to travel. That's the source of the problem. Their car.
Then you need the real ID, the state ID, to fly in an airplane, because the FCC...
Well, that's another whole separate issue to attack, is the regulations that they're looking at under there. There's federal regulations they're looking, and you have to attack them, that those regulations have no forced effect of law, and the only way you can attack them, guaranteed, is to go look at the CFRs, look at the Federal Register, then look at the Administrative Procedures Act of 1946, which is codified in 5 U.S.C. Chapters 5 through 9. And Chrysler v. Brown says it has no forced effect of law if it doesn't say it's in compliance with 5 U.S.C. 553 B, C, and D. And this, by the way, is what was done to the DACA down in Texas with Obama's nonsense down there. He said your rulemaking is not a substantive rig, and it went to the Fifth Circuit, and they upheld it 2-1. Went to the Supreme Court; it was 4-4. And but that's how that was brought out. And he had that judge actually had the cojones to bring this nonsense out in the open about substantive regulations. And this is the only way that you can do that. But you have to extricate yourself so that you're not a citizen of the United States.
It'll be interesting, Ralph, because I'm glad I called, and you're forewarned. Your state is working on complying, because they do not want the federal corporation to tell them that Alaska people cannot get on commercial airplanes, because the Alaska people will start screaming. So it will come to you. You are one of the states that's now working on it.
Yeah, okay.
So if we can all work out a solution, it'd be wonderful.
Well, you have to get your status right. I guarantee you. If you take it on the IRS, I've been doing this a long time with the IRS, and they'll either walk away or they'll leave you alone. And you have to get your status correct. You have to get out of Babylon. Are you thinking you're ever going to be totally free of Babylon? No, we're in Babylon.
How can you get the TSA? Your status is correct, but how can you get the TSA to accept you through that line if you don't have that driver's license?
Because then you have to get around, and before you get to the line, you got to go look and see what they're relying on to make you do that, and then you attack that. May have to sue them. I don't know. I've not researched it. But you have to get the starting point of who you are, just like Esau in the Bible. You can't give up your status, your citizenship. If you do, you're done. You have no way to fight
it. I agree, and that's why we are going after this driver's manual, which is not public record, but we're going after that because this is where this is all in. They are interpreting legal presence as citizenship.
Let me give you a suggestion. Go down, or if you haven't seen it, I can send, if you haven't, send an email or give it to them on Republic here. I have all the documents. Go down to your dealer and get every document that they use. Now, I had to fight him to get it. I had to threaten to sue him. I had to threaten to stand outside. I said, you guys are doing something illegal. They know what's going on. I got every document to buy a new car. There is the source of the problem. That's what we have to fight, is number one, it is my car, and you can't force me to surrender, to give away all right, title, and interest, called an attorney in fact. It's also called an implied in fact contract, which has the same status as an express contract. You cannot force me to do that. That's what I'm going to take off.
It'll be interesting when it comes to Alaska, which it will. Right now Congress is voting to have a biometric ID incorporated into the real ID, and I believe they're probably going to be talked into doing that. So it'll be interesting to have you in this fight with us, because right now you've been able to do that, but I'm looking at what they've done in Ohio. I think they're going to make everyone comply, and the more people who know how to fight it, the better we'll be.
Well, most places won't even allow you to put your public status in the public record. Alaska will. I went over and tangled with them, because they don't want that. If you understand the significance of it, you have to figure out who you are before you go fight these guys.
And on the thing, which this page about signature, what really ticked me off is the number 6 item on it. This is, again, the instructions to the little guys who sit behind the, you know, the desk and give you your driver's license and ask you your questions and type all that stuff in. Okay, number 6, it says, the signature collected on the signature pad at the workstations for Ohio credential issuance indicate the applicant agrees to and understands the information regarding the issuance.
Right. Yeah, which you can't do. I guarantee there's nothing you can understand.
Absolutely.
There's nothing I can understand because there are so many term definitions, it's an impossibility.
And they don't even reveal half of what they're doing.
They can't.
Yeah.
But the people don't want to know. I got somebody that wants to come in on a conference call here, Mark in Florida. Can you bring him in, RBN? He wants to ask you a couple of questions.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Ralph and Al. I appreciate you guys. Al, have you, and Ralph goes over this with his affidavit, and Roger Sales has a book that's $5 download PDF, Sovereign to Serf. He's gone through all the citizenship things and to get a passport as a U.S. national. And it Ralph's affidavit serves as notice to the Secretary of State in Washington, D.C., of your status, and you can attach it to a passport application and get that passport as a U.S. national. Now, the driver's license is a privilege. That's why they, Ralph cited USC Title 49, which is the commercial drivers, which is how I make my living, which is driving me nuts. With the renewal and all coming up in the year. And Ralph, I wanted you to mention again that case about the 14th Amendment citizen, how the United States is only allowed to enforce a state doing a wrong. What the name of that case?
Here's the thing, is I understand that what you and Ralph are saying. Basically, what you're saying is they can't do this. But what we're seeing on the ground, boots on the ground, what do I get when I go to a doctor's office? Those employees are told if they don't follow these rules, they lose their job. The same thing.
Stop there.
The bank will tell you the same thing.
Yeah. That ain't the proper forum to fight.
A dear friend of mine, Bill Monroe, who's passed away up in Michigan. And they wanted to install public water into his home and force him to purchase their service. And he went to sue Bob, who was doing it, or whatever the name of the government agent that was forcing him to do it. And he got his water pipes for free. If you have to sue the person that's forcing you to do this, or do that, or the other. Not the city, not the state. You got to sue Jim or Bob or Henry. Whatever the guy's the government agent's name that's forced to do this, make them prove what they're doing is true. Because we can't, neither can they. And that's a trust.
Here's what they're told.
They're told
that they can't force me to produce this ID. It's a take it or leave it deal. They know that. They can't force me to produce a driver's license. But they can and do say, that's fine, if you don't have a driver's license, call back. We can't see you. That's how they're doing it. They're getting these institutions to enforce it by just merely telling me, you can't cash a check because you don't have the proper ID. You can't see a doctor because you don't have the proper ID. Next, it's not a question of me consenting. It's a question of they are told, if I don't have that, they will be punished and fined, or they will lose their job. So what they do is they deny you service.
Now, right.
It's really hard to function without a bank account.
This is why you have to get to the source. Let me figure out the other source of this whole problem. They got you out of being a citizen of Ohio. You think you're a citizen of the United States. Then in the 17th Amendment, just a minute, the 17th Amendment, the legislatures of the several states were supposed to elect senators of the United States. They cut that out. Well, guess what happened after 1913? Up to 1913, United States was the real party of interest from the beginning of our republic in all federal lawsuits. United States. From 1913 to 1916, they changed over to United States of America. Who is United States of America? Well, I've got 113 cases out of the Department of Justice. All of a sudden, United States of America is a sovereign body politic. Now, what does that mean? Because we, the people, that's why when you get your status right, I modify the voter registration and also get that changed, because you have to vote as a citizen of Alaska, which up here I've challenged them and they won't stop you. California, I can't modify theirs because they got such a complex nonsense voter thing, but I've done another, because you have to say who I am, and then I am voting for my Republican form. I am exercising my elective franchise and my right of suffrage. Now you have standing to go fight these guys. Now, what are the courts left? The courts, all the federal courts, United States District Courts, are nonsense. They operate on a geographical. I've got this out of a Senate report. The only constitutional courts where United States is the real party of interest is the Federal Court of Claims and the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. And I have taken a case from Mississippi, a tax case. United States of America put this guy in prison. Did a foreclosure. We took it to the, instead of taking it to the Fifth Circuit, we took it to the Federal Court of Claims. They had never seen one. Well, they have it statutorily blocked. If you live in the land of Oz with a citizen of the United States, you can't get into the Federal Court of Claims. Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. I'm sorry, Federal Circuit Court of Appeals. You have to come into the Federal Court of Claims. So they put it back. But up there, this person says, I am a counsel for United States. This is in the Federal Circuit Court of, I'm counsel for United States. Took the same case, the same attorney, they bumped it back to the Fifth Circuit. Now she says, I am counsel for United States of America on exactly the same case. There are two different venues. There's two governments working out here. And what we have to understand, like to get into the Federal Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the only national Article III court, appellate court, before the Supreme Court. It's the only one. You have to come through the federal. You have to come through the Federal Court of Claims. That is the that's the door.
If you can get this real ID thing turned around, and it's coming to Alaska, no question about it. It's sweeping the country. If you can find a way, I'd be right there helping you. Because
well, I'm working on with the IRS because it's all related to the status. Everything is your status. It's all citizen of the United States. I've got so much information on this documented over and over and over. When you are a citizen of the United States, you have no domicile, you have no rights, you have no remedies. Just shut the hell up. You don't have a right to own property. That's why we don't own our cars. That's why you don't have a right to any constitutional courts, because we keep signing up. That's why everything, why do you have to keep signing up to have a jury? You can't even get on a federal jury or a jury in Alaska. You have to say, on the record, I'm a citizen of the United States. Why does it have to have it on a driver's license, a citizen of the United States? Why does it have to have it on anything that I am a citizen of the United States? Because we are citizens of the several states, and we have to keep saying, I want to sign up for an implied in law. I want the benefit of being a citizen of the United States. That's the core problem. And that's why I'm winning on getting these IRS cases and all this. And it's all tied back to all of your stuff, the real ID, is all tied to the Social Security Act, the Buck Act, and the individual incomes. It's all together on that nonsense. And until you figure out who you are.
Now, if you can get Alaska not to pass this Real ID Act.
Well, what I might do, if you're on top of this, because I ain't got so many cases I'm dealing with, but if they get an act in up here, if you would give me notice at IRS at AlaskaMinuteman.com, okay. Just like we got borough over here is going to pass the thing on wood smoke. Yeah. So no more wood stoves. I know about the EPA. And I said, I challenged them, come on down, because I will have standing. I will take on the EPA. I can take on the EPA. And if you give me the act that they're doing up here, I'll read it, and I will take on the state of Alaska. I will, because I will have standing.
There's no
and
Alaska
I'm a, and I'm a dangerous SOB. I'm telling you, I take no prisoners, and I give no quarter.
Does Alaska have a Department of Homeland Security?
Not that I know of.
Ohio
of course,
does.
See, what you have to understand is Alaska come in on equal footing with the other states. You have to understand that Alaska has no, there's not one, I'll bet your state's the same way. There's not one person that is a public officer that has an oath of office as a public officer. We're supposed to have, up here in Alaska, they're supposed to have a civil commission. I have a copy of it, by the way. And we have a state of Alaska. They don't do civil commissions. So all these judges, we even had one admit it. All she is a black robe bar member. She says, I'm an undersigned jurist. She said, I signed legal documents and I have a law degree and go to hell.
Yeah,
she signed an order to that. Challenged me. She said, yeah, I don't have that oath of office. I don't have a civil commission. What's the problem?
Right. No, I mean, it was a lot easier to debate and dispute this until when I lost my license and I was denied access to my bank account, and then I went and looked up red flag rules. And it's all being...
Do you know what I did? I
checked
my bank account.
Identity
theft. My debit card. But I use postal money orders.
Yeah.
It's all I use.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Well, it was a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I'm just forewarning you, because I don't think they plan on leaving Alaska the home of the free. If they get a choice,
we got some of the best crooks money can buy. We got gold, silver, fishing, and mining, and you name it. We got, I don't know a politician that's not a crook.
I don't either. Okay, thank you, Ralph. Take care. Bye.
Gary, Mark, you still there? You got a question or comment? I also got one more person. Gary in Arkansas wants to get in here, come in. But go ahead. You got any more questions for me before we go?
Yeah, I wanted you to repeat that case site where the Supreme Court ruled that the 14th Amendment didn't grant the U.S. any authority over anything other than a state doing a wrong.
Oh, yeah, I've got tons of those. To start with Cruikshank and Slaughterhouse, and it just goes on and on and on. I got a whole portfolio of those.
Okay, you said Shankus?
Now, that other case there, that's on the income tax. Anything to do with income is strictly an excise, is strictly a tax on the profits and stuff of a federal or of a corporation. That's it. And how they got around this, they put us all into the federal area, which most people call zone, but the federal area is the Buck Act of 1940, and they made it positive law in 1947. And they said, oh, by the way, if you're a citizen of the United States and you're in the exterior boundaries of Florida, you are considered to be in a federal area, and you're a citizen of the United States, and you owe income tax. Well, income
that
tax...
Case in That case in 1875, what was that?
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
The case in the 1875.
Oh, well, yeah. If you want, send me, I will send you this. Send me an email at irs@alaskaminuteman.com, and it's the Cruikshank case and Slaughterhouse cases are two, and Reese. There are several cases. It's very explicitly explained out in plain English. And this other document that I have, which they put together in 1887, based on about 15 holdings of the Supreme Court of the United States. It's in black and white. The problem is we are not educated. Ever since the 13th Amendment up, they're citizens of the United States. They don't educate. They don't. The citizens of the several states, we don't use them no more. No. But they have to get us to keep signing up. Okay?
Okay, thank you for sitting in.
Yeah, okay. Gary in Arkansas, you're next, and I got Roseanne in Texas. I want to get to both of you before we close. What time is it here? How much time we got left? 15 minutes. We should have time. Okay, Gary in Arkansas, you're up. Go for it.
I'll be real quick here. It seems to me about the ID thing, that the first thing that happens when a baby is born, the doctor signs the certificate of live birth, which has nothing to do with the federal government. Then they want the mother to sign the birth certificate, which then they bond out, et cetera, and all that good stuff. And then that's where the federal people get their fingers in it. My question is, why can you not use a certificate of live birth as an ID and have it notarized, et cetera, and use that as an ID? Because that's the parent document from which all these other documents flow.
Okay, let me ask you a question. I know somebody that got his children out without a birth certificate, without a Social Security number. Okay? He got him out of the hospital. It's hard to do because, you see, the feds show up over there all the time. They want you. Our birth certificates has all, by the way, if you go look at it, they use intaglio printing or a commercial document. Okay? That means they have very fine print, and there are seals. There is Mason-type letters buried in this. It's just unbelievable. But in the wording, they also put you into welfare on the back. And they only want the mother's maiden name. They want the father.
Yeah,
it's like you're a bastard. But if they put the welfare, as soon as you tie in anything to do with a handout, welfare, a benefit, you are a citizen of the United States. You have no rights and you have no remedies. It's all, and they do that at the very beginning. But it can be done. But the problem is like when this person that I'm talking about, two daughters. They get up and then they want to go get a job. Well, they don't know enough how to fight it, so they just surrender and go get a Social Security number and stuff, and they sign up because they don't know. How am I supposed to know the stuff that I'm talking about? This is complicated.
One other quick question is that by law of necessity, which is a canon of law, I believe, by law of necessity, we are required to sign certain documents that we don't agree with that we must have in order to survive in modern society. Now, my question is this. I'm actually got dual citizenship. I've got citizenship of the United States. As an American national, which is not a U.S. citizen, which is not their system. And why can't you use these type of things?
Okay, well, let me.
And another quick thing I want you to comment on is, if you go through a timeline of a day, let's say hour one, I'm acting in the capacity of a U.S. citizen. Hour two, I might be an American national. Hour three, I might be something else.
Okay, all this national and all that stuff.
I might be a father.
Okay, all this national stuff and all that, I'm telling you, it's not the way to go. Because even back in 1796, I think, when England was stealing our sailors, they had to do an affidavit. I am a citizen of the United States of America. That is a traveling citizenship for anywhere you are domiciled, and an American citizen. I was born upon the land. Now, the citizenship is an important issue. People say, oh, I don't want to be a citizen you're out of Arkansas. I don't want to be a citizen of Arkansas. That makes me a slave. No. That is your remedy. Otherwise, we have anarchy. We have a country under the English common law. Inalienable rights of the Creator we got from the Declaration of Independence. We have three types of government, and we are allowing three separate branches to hold what's called an office, which means to do our business. But it's limited, and we have a Bill of Rights, which says you can do these things, but these things are off limits. That has all been overthrown because you and I don't understand You're living in a sovereign country of Arkansas with its own constitution, and it should have its own citizens. That's what Slaughterhouse, Cruikshank, all that says. Said the 14th changed nothing. The 16th Amendment changed nothing. It's an illusion.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get out of this U.S. I'm trying to get out of the feds.
The first step is you have to get status that is provable who you are. Then the burden of proof shifts onto them. And Alaska will allow it. It's $150 to get it done, but I haven't got the latest revision done yet. So, we're going to break here.
Thanks for your hard work up there in Alaska, and we used to live up there. And it's a pretty country.
Oh, it is.
See you later.
Yeah, okay.
They came and took it all away.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux is really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
Okay, we're back here. This is Ralph Woodward. I'm sitting in for John Stapmiller. He's off today. Roxanne in Texas, you're up next.
Hi, I just wanted to kind of add in something. I lived in Saudi Arabia, and I went to Africa and Asia. And what the women did and the elders always told me is they would get, you know, and I would know which, for example, it would be the Ananazi tribe. They would have tattoos on their knees or on their chin. And that's the same thing as we call today the Social Security, but they always had in the leaders of the tribes would always know over the ancient times, and they're going back to ancient times, and I'm going back to the 80s. but they always had a specific tattoo or henna, which...
I'm sorry, specific tattoo for what?
Well, that would be what we call today our Social Security or our stamp of approval or our... But the these tribes of Africa and Asia and all of these people, this stuff is not new, Ralph. And I don't call in regularly to you because I don't know if you call in or you have a call in. But nonetheless, this is so, so old. And we can't fix this. And I know you and Al sometimes disagree to agree. But I can talk to really, really old people in Asia saying, well, this is what it is, and it's here. It's here now.
Well, see, what is different about our country? We're the only country that said we have inalienable rights from the Creator. We're the only country in existence that's ever done that. We're it. We have inalienable rights, and then we, as sovereigns, all other governments, the government does not allow the people to have the position of being sovereign. We then, as sovereigns, sovereign citizen, that's an oxymoron statement. We then, as inalienable rights of sovereign, agreed to use the English common law, which was done over many centuries, to be an excellent system, and we modified it. Where we have three separate branches, we say we want the government we are a, quote, citizen. We have a constitution, a contract, and we say you can do these things, and the Bill of Rights say you cannot do these things. We have walked away from it because these people have conned us, and to say it real simply, today we are under the absolute plenary, which is absolute power of Congress. We have no constitution. We have no rule of law. This is why the world, or our republic, is in such disarray, because they started this, actually, March 3rd, 1933. Hoover, on his last day, repealed 1,006 statutes of the United States. 1,006, his last day. March 4th, Franklin Delano Roosevelt started the Federal Administrative Act, or administration, and he started using executive orders, and the agency started using the regulations as law. That started March 4th, 1933. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt is the only president.
Hold on, Ralph.
Okay.
Ralph, if you've ever been in the Rotunde in Washington, D.C., they painted a picture of Washington in a toga with a sword up in the air. It was going way before 1933.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, we got to go. Anyway, thanks for listening today. And as I always say, what's up for the federal rallies? I have a show every Sunday afternoon. So thanks for watching, and we will see you next time, God willing.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.